country. But I think it will be very honorable if we leave it there and have a moment of silence in memory of the minister and the comrades who have passed together with the protectors that were working with him. Thank you very much. May his soul rest in peace. May your souls rest in peace. Colleagues, we will be starting the agenda. There's an apology that comes from the Director General, but he has indicated that the CFO and the EDG for public transport will be making presentations here. But also the Deputy Minister will leave the meeting as soon as the presentation on DRRR has been completed, and we will continue with the doing the other business. So without much ado, I'm going to request that we immediately go into the presentation on DRRR. DM, let me give this opportunity to yourself to introduce the team, Chief Chancellor, which will be making presentations to us here today. Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honourable members of the Portfolio Committee on Transport. Yes, I think let us appreciate the fact that we are once more given this opportunity to present before yourself how we have tried to implement the recommendations of the Portfolio Committee. And indeed, I must indicate that we had the first session with the department, and we looked into all matters that were raised, not only during the past financial year, but even during the other past financial year, but also looking into the legal support of the department as we're busy developing our third plan and the annual performance plan. We indeed have three DDGs here, the CFO of the department, the lead the presentation on the ritual, and then we have ATPDG, Mr. Mawe Chukwuzilane, and of course a public transport DDG, Mr. Matabata Makonyama, are all here. And then of course, to send my sincere apologies that I will have to leave the meeting. I've explained the reasons that beyond my control. I really wanted to be part of this meeting up to the end, and there was nothing else I had planned other than coming to the meeting, but things happened late at night and I have to therefore prepare to leave the meeting. I will now head over to the CFO for the treatment to take us to the presentation. CFO.
Thank you very much.
Before the CFO starts with the presentation, Honorable Ramakankani is held up in another meeting. Probably she will join us later. We are used to the fact that EFF is always late, so there must be a lot of...
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thanks, Deputy Minister, thanks to the members. Mine is a simple task of just going through the responses of the recommendations that were made by this committee on the reports of the departments and of all the entities that report to us. I will take you through the presentation, the content thereof. I'll start with the introduction. Get to the responses per recommendation that the committee has made. The slide number, I think number 3 of the contents, which says the duty enables annual reports between the 14th and 17th of October 2014. This committee made comments and recommendations, and as I captured, they are updated 24 October 2014. Each branch and entity was interrogated thoroughly and responses are provided for comforting recommendations that were made by the committee, and those responses as well are given in written form. The third one of the recommendations was in terms of adherence to SMART principles. The DOT 3 plan of 2015-2020, the ADP of 2016 tabled to Parliament. The 11th would be, I think it's still going to be tabled. Tabled, okay. On the 11th of March 2015, the presentation is next week, the 24th. Has adhered to SMART principles that are specific, the measurable and all indicators that have been defined. This we did by getting both our strategic planning unit together with internal audit and auditor general to ensure that we comply, so that we work very closely with the auditor general to make sure that the SMART principles are observed. We have also developed technical indicators which describe as per the regulatory framework on what will constitute evidence and what is required at the end of each and every quarter, both on the quarterly target and annual target. As I'm saying, additional evidence for all quarters and annual targets in the ADP procurement and quality would be assured. The ADP is aligned to the approved E&E for human allocation of resources for the planned targets. All targets are within the control of the DOT and targets several quarterly and annual timeline for the achievements. The recommendation 7.2, which is implementation of the recommendations for Auditor General. The AD recommendations are being implemented. This is also reported to the Audit Committee during the quarterly meeting that the Health Department and the Internal Control Unit follow up on all internal audit AG recommendations for implementation. My mother at this stage, when we had our audit committee last week, we were at 76% of all the recommendations that were made by the Auditor General in the previous year, and all the other ones that were left out, which is about 24%, were at reasonable progress. Additional to that, the DG and the accounting office have signed a commitment schedule with the Auditor General to ensure that those are implemented. And in that regard, we are managing that, and we're sticking very close to it. Recommendation 7.3 on contract management. The government plan has been developed and being consulted the national trail. That is done to ensure that we align ourselves with the E&E, and we have developed a timetable to ensure that what is on the procurement plan gets to be executed. At the third national trail, it issued guidelines on the CM procurement department and entities to implement. And the Auditor General has identified shortcomings that we would be monitoring quarterly. As I said, this is done in line with what the Director General has signed as a commitment to the Auditor General, which to date looks very well, that we are on course to be able to achieve that. That is indicated. You will see that our irregular expenditure will almost be 100% from the one that we have had in here before. Handover of units. This contract is expected to expire on the 30th of April 2015. The project management and over plan is being implemented. The process is guided by a task team of the shareholders committee chaired by the MEC from Free State. And the plan, the focus areas of operational issues post expire with existing contract, information technology facilities and facilities management. Risk management plan has been developed, communication plan is in place, the financial plan implemented to address such implications. I must say that this matter is now sitting in the front of the courts, as we just received an agent court application from the sex provider, which we of course anticipated, so we're dealing with that going forward. recommendation 7.5, advertising few vacant posts, DOT nationalizing the vacancy rate to reduce it to at least an acceptable level below the 10%. As members will commit to a target on the performance on the 2016 performance cycle, the vacancy rate reduced from 26.5% to about 22%. Total establishment has 864 funded posts, of which 197 are vacant. 87 of those have been added in the previous financial year. 119 vacancies have been filled from the 1st of April 2014 to date, which includes internal promotions. Why we include that is because when you call an internal promotion, it means you move bodies, but the vacancy remains relatively the same. The filling of vacancies remains the main agenda on both SCO and SLC. I must highlight to the committee that as a result, there has been a cut in compensation of employees across government, which may result in us having to reduce our funded posts, especially the ones that have not been filled for a while. We need to check whether they are still the posts that we need and then be able to cut the block to fit the budget that we have. Continue with the advertising of the vacant posts, 159 books advertised from April 2014 to date, 111 were shortlisted, and 116 interviews were held conducted on April. The key vacant posts, as it were, are now 4 DDGs, 11 cities, and the 3 DDGs are waiting for this, and 3 cities are set for interviews. So that's how far we are. We hope that we will be able to do that with speed so that in the next financial year we are able to hit the ground running. Oversight over public entities. The department has now consolidated its approach to public entity oversight. A new chief directorate will be introduced in the Office of the Director General to address this matter in a holistic manner. To add to that, the minister requested that this must be a branch which we are working towards, and that will be signed by the GSA later. Once we approach them for that, the minister has already granted approval for the creation of posts in the DOT structure and the National Treasury allocated funds to DOT to create additional capacity for POE and grant management. So in that regard, we hope that we should be able to have more oversight on our public entities through that process. Prioritization of financial stability of entities. The mechanism is being established to assess entities that have financial resource challenges, and financial oversight analysis of entities is performed quarterly, and those entities that do have potential financial sustainability problems are then identified. And as most entities receive the majority of their revenue through levies and tariffs that are imposed, entities are able to conduct their operations. But we do, from time to time, assess whether they can achieve their money. If not, we then engage the treasury to ensure that they are adequately funded. We are developing a couple of funding strategies that we are working together with entities to ensure. This will include entities such as post regulator and CBRTA. Recommendation 7.8, alignment of the strategic plan and KDPs to the NDP. The DOT and NDPs through the current cycle of strategic planning 2015-2020 and the KDPs of 2015-16, which were tabled on 11th of March. The planning framework is aligned with NDP and MTSF. The plans respond to outcome 4, 6, 7, and 10 of the minister's delivery plan. So that has been done in totality. Recommendation 7.9, the legislative program for 2015. The DOT legislative program for 2015 has been presented to the PCOT. The three set of legislation due for debate in 2015, as we already presented them. The mentioned shipping bill of 2015, the Administrative Adjudication of Road Traffic Offences Amendment Bill of 2015, the National Land Transport Amendment Bill of 2016. And the legislation that are in the drafting stage has presented the RAF Bill, the Road Accident Penalty Scheme Amendment Bill of 2016, the Airport Company Amendment Bill of 2015, Air Traffic and Aviation Service Company Amendment Bill of 2015, Single Transport Economic Regulation Bill of 2015, the Ship Registration Amendment Bill of 2015, and the Road Traffic Amendment Bill of 2015. So those are the, that is our legislative program as already presented to the committee. Reporting requests on the responses that were required, written responses that were required by the committee, a written plan from Brother on the turnaround strategy for strategic accommodation, plans on the introduction of the new rolling stock that has been received, the code regulator, the development of the draft funding strategy that is still in line to be developed, CBRTA development of the draft funding strategy that has been received, the DOT legal services, legislation status report, as I said, that has been presented, DOT civil aviation report for hazard space management in the SADC region that has been done, and the DOT financial procurement plan for financial 2016 that is with the National Treasury that has not been approved yet. We are still working towards that in line with the APP. RTMC turnaround strategy to address the implementation that also has been received. That is our response, Honorable Chair, to the BRRR report recommendations that we had to report on to the committee. Thank you very much. We are ready to take any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Litsualo. Colleagues, there we are. Going to start with Honorable Khadere. Any other hand going? Almost gone. Honorable Khadere, Honorable Keita, Honorable Freitas, along this line.
Yeah, thanks, Let's just appreciate the presentation, but also raise the question of the late submission of the document that it is not acceptable. Let us just take note of that. The family, let's try to submit the document late. You'll be able to find yourself coming back to present it to us continue to your offices. Just take note of that. No, in terms of the 3.5 response, in terms of the issue of the vehicles, I'm still not satisfied about the response and the challenges. I'm not finding sense in terms of what is the reason that you will be able to fill up all the positions. As a result that the pressure is to cut your budget, it really doesn't make any sense. And I'm just also asking myself whether what would be the effect in terms of the service delivery? Whether we're going to be able to continue and or going to have lots of problems afterwards. Because indeed once that happens, unless one of those are positions where necessary, we're just created for employment purposes. If they were indeed created for different services, I don't know what is the reason for you to cut them. But indeed, it really troubles me when you listen to that. But the other issue is that I'm trying to understand what is the reason of the delay of the report, the written response from the port regulator. I can't understand. You said you are still drafting on a funding strategy. What's the delay? I mean, this document is in debt last year, and it really troubles me. The other issue is in relation to in relation to that, all the other the relationship, I think, is in relation to 7.1, that the strategies and all the APPs, the DG has been able to sign. I'm just trying to also double check that the DG has been fully briefed for these matters, because he has started recently. I think he is not aware of all other challenges. I'm just trying to be cautious in terms of whether he's being briefed or not, because if later we discover there are challenges, he's going to shift the blame to you, and you're saying we're going to shift it somewhere else, and we're going to have a guess at this problem. Yes.
Thank you, Chief. I've got two questions. The one is just on the AG report. We say that 24% is not complete. Is it possible for us to get a copy of that, the undertaking that is attached to the AG of the 24% that is not complete? Because, you know, it might be the 76 little minor issues have been covered, but 24% of the serious matters are not covered. So I think it's important that we have an indication of what that is. Then on the vacancies, I'd like to just see how many of the 22% vacancies are in fact key positions. What is the sort of job spec breakdown of that? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, my apologies for being in late. I had to speak to a matter of ran over. Apologies. Just a few questions on presentations. Thank you. If it's been answered while I was away, my apologies. The first is where the AG's recommendations need to be implemented. And I see that it says it will be monitored and so forth. What happens in cases where what is required is not done? And how's that dealt with? So that the funds are fulfilled. And then the legislation is being tabled this year, and that is in drafting stage. Do we have a time frame for dates? Not necessarily specific dates, but even just months that we as a committee possibly plan for, or know kind of at what stage these various pieces of legislation are at. And then I see a page from ATC that talks about these reports that are tabled, for example, to the National Assembly, and etc. But there are no dates attached, typically for one, which is a date from last year. So if we look at that as well, thank you.
Honourable Chairperson. Chairperson, I wanted to start by saying Siyabonga Ntate's contribution, but nevertheless, I don't want to mix to echo my sentiments that the type of job which you are doing is interlinked. In which sense, when you check 7.2 and then you link it with the 7.5 days, that is not a policy test for that one. You see, what is worrying me is that, like in the clear vacant post, what do you expect? How are you, in terms of evaluation, performance and evaluation, will it be people are responsible for that particular job? I'll put an example. Chairperson, always I make an example to understanding. You still remember when we had the workshop day in that hotel? We asked a question from the department. Unfortunately, the 18 teaching was out. Nobody from other people wanted to come and take a responsibility. They refused. And it was very difficult for us because we wanted to know about something. Even now, you are weakening us. I don't want to pretend about that one. Because, I only understand if those vacancies are not paid. But for people, vacancies, for paid one, why it takes so long? Where is the problem? Where is the problem? What's not happening? That's worrying me. Because it goes back, like if I put an example of 7.2, some of the recommendations by the AG. You know, if they recruit very well, some of these things in terms of the performance, they need monitoring. They need monitoring. Who will be responsible for that particular monitoring in particular, specific jobs? Because, you see, I won't accept maybe if you have a new teacher that he is going to be fly all over, same day and time. It's impossible. If I will bring him to fail, he will fail. Because we don't give him the necessary equipment or instruments, meaning human beings who are supposed to take the responsibility in different levels, including the ministry itself. The ministry itself depends on you. See, that is worrying me, seriously, because to me, they responded, but I'm not satisfied at all, because they have been paid back in the future. Because if you take the percentage, I don't know how to, I'm not too bad in that experience. You see, after 79, they responded saying, they're telling us out of 159, the process should be dead. You see, everything was advertised, whatever, 916 interviews. But to me, each of those is quite conducted and what else? I told the 159. If that is not employed, that's a problem. That means a huge number, or the bulk number which we're arguing about, is still there. The cases are still there. Interview, nothing, doesn't mean anything. Since then, you know, I wanted to ask something about what is also 7.5. No, 7.5 is the one which I was giving about 7.7. You see, like the issue of the entities. Since we started with engagement, we were asking something, one thing. How often do you interact with the entities? How often do you interact? But here, your response is saying, department will engage with the entities. You know, I mean, with some of the things. It should be a loophole, because some of the entities, no matter what mention names, they seem to have some challenges. They seem to have challenges. Because, like some of my colleagues who indicated that to say that engagement, by when? Because you can say you will have engagement, maybe next year or next of next year, when our term is finished. So it's worrying me seriously, this moment, because it's silence. The last one is on 7.9. You see, with the legislation, I know that some of the processes are about yourself. Okay, thank you. Chairperson, with the legislation, you see, I will comment on that one, because I know that some of the processes are about yourself, like the process is supposed to go to cabinet in the night. But what is worrying me is that part of our request was that they identify more if they are. Because we don't want to be taken by surprise with some of the things. Because what is there, some of our own beliefs still is to go to the media when things that didn't go to the proper channel. We also support the idea that procedures must unfold. But I have us bring them forward. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the reports by the departments and try to start where my other colleague has landed on the issue on the response 7.3 contract management. I think it's correct for the department to say they are going to monitor the identified shortcomings, or that can also a committee be briefed on the program so that we don't wait till the end. We must see that they are working towards achieving whatever audit that they may get. Secondly, on the issue of filling of vacant posts, given what has been presented by the Minister of Finance, now they are saying they are going to have a cut on the fund post. Can they categorize and prioritize the most, those that are critical
be identified and be treated. It means, to me, it means they are going to revisit their organogram now and do whatever, but I'm making a plea that they should categorize and prioritize those that are critical. Otherwise, the report, I think it's acceptable. So we received it thoroughly.
Thank you very much. I think on contract management from my side, if maybe the department can take us into confidence as to what are the shortcomings that the AG has identified, so that it will also assist us going forward to make sure that we know how the type of oversight it is supposed to be in terms of issues of contract management. The other one is the CEO has indicated that the EAP's issue is in court. Why I'm taken to court? What are the issues that we didn't do on this matter? And lastly, in our interaction with a court regulator, one of the issues that we're raising, which is a legislative, is to the effect that there are challenges within how Transnet looks at the act. And if you go into the court act number 12 of 2005, section 3 and subsection 4 is very clear as to what really the minister has to do, because it is what is very important is that the Transnet may be a landlord, but the post regulator is supposed to be dealing with the issues that has to do with the post. And I am of the belief that if that can be cleared by the shareholder minister, particularly Transnet and post regulator, it will also assist the department, because definitely the post regulator will be able to make will be able to generate revenue, that it doesn't now become a challenging thing for the department to start looking for resources which can be able to assist the port regulator, because in this instance Transnet needs to do what is right in terms of the legislation and give to court regulator what is what rightly belongs to the court regulator. I think DM, I'm taking advantage of your presence here, that this is one anomaly that post regulator has identified that we need to really clear and make sure that it's dealt with, because I believe that they will be able to generate revenue in this regard and moving forward. I'm going to allow through DM the responses.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Maybe first let me apologize for the late submission of this document that is presented. We'll have to check as to where the delay occurred, because the minister signed off this document last week, and we'll have to check with our PLO what then happened, so that it is submitted here late, and let's apologize again, but I will check it up with our PLO so that it doesn't happen again. Our commitment is that the portfolio committee receives documents early enough, 7 days before the meeting, so that they can actually have time to update themselves with the documents. I just want to say something on the vacancies, which I think many members have raised. We, as the DFO indicated, said to the ministry that this will remain a standing item on our strategic management committee meetings. In order for us, the ministry, to monitor the filling of these vacancies or vacant posts. And as it is indicated in the presentation, that for instance in April 2014, we had a vacancy rate of 26.52. And it was reduced to 22.01. I must indicate that one of the reasons that could cause some delays is our emphasis on getting the right skills. Because we are an engineering department, but we don't have enough engineers. We're dealing with issues related to operation package, and therefore, for instance, we have the maritime branch.
but people that are there might not be maritime specialists. And maybe getting people with relevant qualifications as we need them, people who probably, for instance, have done engineering in maritime, maritime economics, for instance, might not be easy to get. So it's possible to advertise both and do not get the skills that you want. And in some areas, we have actually said, you're not going to appoint for the sake of appointing and have people occupying posts but not able to perform in those posts because they don't have the skills and the requisite experience that we need. So that could also be contributing. But I must also indicate the fact that people also apply. So once you're filling vacancies, some people may actually be resigning. I can mention that a few, for instance, you have seen here, we have DDG's vacant posts. It's people that probably have resigned. Dr. Maria, for instance, to Dr. She has resigned. And therefore, that is vacant. So if you actually filled some posts, you then have another post. And you can't stop here because they have the right to apply elsewhere. And we have right to allow them to go and work wherever they want to go. So I just want to mention that it's a matter that not only we have left in the hands of our executive, I mean management, executive management, but we are also monitoring it as the department and also as the ministry. The issue regarding the cutting of budget, I think if we read the Minister of Finance budget speech, one of the cost containment measures is to say, let's look at our vacant posts, particularly those that have been vacant for some time, and see if we still need them. So it's not just to say we're going to cut, we're going to look at the posts and really say we need this, we cannot do without, and we will do without this. So it's an exercise that we will be embarking on as a department. And we cannot then let go of those positions that we think we need and are critical. I just wanted to say that. But also to mention the fact that if you have actually seen the budget speech, most departments have had their budget cut. And not because you're not annoying, but because we don't have, I mean, enough money as government, you know, to give the department. So I just wanted to mention that. Other questions, Jay, on whether our targets are smart and so on. I think the particular committee will be able to tell us as to whether we've done that as they read our APP, in fact, which we have tabled here in Parliament, annual performance plan, our set plan, because we believe as the department that we have actually done that. And then the portfolio committee, I think, will be able to know and confirm what we're saying. I think next week when we're presenting, or whatever time when we're presenting our budget, in fact, our APP and the threat plan, and in that way we can be able to say this is what is happening. With regards to draft legislation, what we have actually presented here are three legislations or bills that we will be tabling in Parliament during the coming financial year, the three, and they are actually coming to Parliament. But those that are at the drafting stage are bills that we want again to table in Parliament. It might necessarily not be during the 2015-16 financial year, but they are in pipeline, they are coming draft bills, for instance, is in the advanced stage, but it's a massive bill. We think will only be tabled in Parliament during the 2016-17 financial year. But we are indicating to the portfolio committee that these are the bills that we are actually processing, that we are drafting, informed by the needs, the problem, so that the portfolio committee will, for instance, the entity come before they know that indeed we are drafting some of these bills in order to deal with the challenges that are raised by our entity that we also have picked up as the department. I just wanted to say that, and I think other questions will be responded to by the delegation that I have here. So I'll hand over to the CFO. Thank you. And Chairperson, can I request to leave now?
Thank you,
point of before he packed up the
interview.
Yeah.
Before I move to the Minister, there's a thing which I wanted to raise or propose or comment. You see, the with their true respect, the something which is worrying me in terms of attendances, who are still not apologetic, like people who are resigning. I'll put an example. There are lots of reasons which can make a person to resign. You were correct to say maybe personal reasons, but at the same time, our legal experience in some of the departments are people that are resigning when the department is due to account. Because it's coming, we are coming now for the issue of the budget and the like. That's what is happening. While our systems, they don't have a mechanism of following a person if you account, if you resign before you account. We don't have any mechanism to grab the person. We don't have those rights. Now, it boils back to the material condition of employment. For an example, like we members. All members, before you are employed, you must, I mean, when you are employed, you must clear, or you are obliged to declare your own things. So, as long as we don't have a system which is like material condition in this department, that's why we're having the justice finding. Then also the issue of recruitment drive. Because in our province, where both of us were coming from, we can check how many people are involved in maritime. Oh, no, I know very well that some people can bring an argument, like in the open some of the province, that we don't need to see. But I don't believe that is always correct. The issue is recruitment drive strategy. I live there. Thank you, Chairperson.
We, when people resign, we conduct what is called a written interview. I've done it personally. I've interviewed quite a number of particularly senior managers who resign because it's proper to conduct such interviews. We have not noted a situation where we can actually confirm that people are resigning because we are about to come before the portfolio committee to account for anything. I can give reasons for quite a number of people. For instance, the manager responsible for police making in the early time when she resigned, I interviewed her and she indicated the fact that she's actually leaving because she must go and now work at home, Kasekai, near her home, because her husband is, I think, in another province, I think Northern Cape, and she was working there, having to travel almost every day between Gauteng and home. And that is why she took the call. So I interviewed her personally, so I know from her. The person, the chief director responsible for oversight, for instance, I interviewed her myself, and she gave indications that are very personal, which I cannot divulge it because I'm personal, but I agreed with her when she related them to me. I feel as though I was visiting Maria Deutsch, I've already secured an appointment. That is at the level of the executive, that is ministry, and that happens at the level of the executive management to conduct exit interviews because it's correct to do that, but also it is in line with the code of public administration. So I'm just indicating that. So I've not been able to identify that it's really because people want to run away from account. Really, the accounting office of the department is the DG. And of course, the minister and the deputy minister are accountable to parliament in terms of the constitution. So I just wanted to say that we are indeed recruiting. But like I indicated, there are specific skills that we need. We have, for instance, in maritime operation police chairperson. One of what we have identified is to say we have a branch with people that are there, but sometimes we do not have the requisite skills. You know, so we want to employ those people. That's what we have said, that we want to employ people with qualifications, experience that are required by a particular position. And that sometimes it's easy to get other people, but sometimes it's difficult to get other people with those qualifications and proven track record. I just wanted to say that. So that's the indication. But we continuously, as it is indicated in the document, we have advertised a number of positions. We have conducted interviews. We really need to be employing people and on a continuous basis. We are doing that. And we will be looking into what we have, whether it's possible to let go of other positions informed by the budget that we have as the CFO has indicated. And that is what we are doing. And like I've indicated, we have this item, a standing item on our agenda at the level of the Strategic Management Committee, which is chaired by the Minister and the Deputy Minister. That's what I wanted to indicate.
Thank you, DM. You have used the point of before is now clear. Thibault, you wanted to say another point of before? Okay. Okay.
Thank you very much. Couple of questions that I thought some of them are my other colleagues too. Respond to. The first one is, I think, what the chair has asked about what will be taken to court for. We are interdicted, chair. We are interdicted for preparing for the end of the contract. Posts were advertised, apparently, by the RTMC, with a view to the ALSS capacity so that when we take over, we should be able to take over. With the capacity intact. We're interdicted from filling those posts. But we are interdicted, it's safe to say, all the other measures are subjudice care, but that's the basis of the thrust of the argument that the service provider has. I think the other issue is the AG report. Undertakings to the AGSA, we have that undertaking signed by the DG. Some of the recommendations by the Auditor General are in such a way that they take quite a while to be able to say you have finally fulfilled all of them and they are fit, and therefore, if you, for example, we had a 13-14-1 that you would receive by the end of July. You then implement them continuously, but some of them would not have been implemented by the 31st of March 2016, I think we are by their nature. But we do follow them up, and we say we report them to the, they are followed up by what we call internal control unit, so they are monitored by EXCO on a monthly basis. They are then monitored by SMC on a quarterly basis. They are also monitored by the audit committee on a quarterly basis. So we do monitor them time and again. What you see is that if you look at what should give committee comfort is that you look at the 2012-13 months, all of them have been implemented. So as the Auditor General gives recommendations, we do finalize those recommendations. And I think we can also share that commitment schedule that we have with the Auditor General on those things, and they also on a quarterly basis check whether we are doing it. The key positions in the vacancies, we can go to under 7.5, the last bullet there, key vacant positions. We have lost two DGs. That adds to, we have got a vacancy of 40 DGs that we require. We move from two, so that is doubled. The one that are also women that we have lost. We have almost lost all women in our executives now. So we need to fill those posts. And then 11 chief director positions. So that are also seen as critical that we need to fix. So those are at the general management level and at the executive level, those are the posts that we have to fill. What happens when what is recommended is not done? The honorable member can be rest assured that when the Auditor General makes a recommendation, there is no one who has a choice about it. The accountability is with the DG to make sure that those recommendations are implemented. And as I said, we work very closely with the Auditor General. Our view about the Auditor General is that they sit there to show us the blind spots. And if we we implement those recommendations, it helps us advance towards what we call a clean audit that we seek to achieve for ourselves. So it's not something that we take very lightly, and therefore everyone has a responsibility to ensure that that happens. You see that in our plan of implementation of recommendations, we've got responsibilities we want to know by when, and most of the time we try to make sure that it's by the end of the financial year so that that will be defined. So if you look at our Auditor General's report, you would find that very less often do we get a repeat finding, because we do make sure that we don't have repeats in those in those areas. The deputy minister has already alluded to the issue of the budget. Everyone's budget or compensation of employees was cut. I don't remember any, unless the new department, but we've asked the people that have been there for quite a while, all our compensation of employees has been cut. And then the result, what that translates to, is that we have not been given money for increases. We have not given money for anything professional, anything that we need to pay, so we need to ensure that our budget caters for that going forward. I don't know if my colleagues want to answer any other questions.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you very much. Thank you, CFO. The one question was, how often do you interact with your entities? Chair, in almost all our entities, we've got the shareholders representative. So that's the first line of interaction. Every time there's a board meeting, the shareholders are also represented by the department's representative at the board. We interact with the entities at AGMs and so on. So it is not possible that we can even go into the second year without interacting with an entity of the department. But reporting, the PFML requires them to report to us on a quarterly basis. Then we review their report. And that's another way of doing oversight. But significantly, as the CFO indicated during the presentation, that there has now even been called upon to establish a branch public entity, re-establish the branch public entity oversight to strengthen the oversight capability. I think the other issue that we always talk about, this issue of vacancy. I think what we can do is, because almost the report on almost all of the things were presented to the audit committee, we can share those reports because they really detail, more especially the issue of vacancies and movement. How many were vacant at what stage, how many were advertised, how many were interviewed, how many were filled, and how many left. Because we could be looking at 22, and that 22, there's very little movement, because as we fill in, others leave. It's a reality, unfortunately. So we can be able in a mixed format to produce those kind of movements, and so that it is not necessarily seen that we're moving very slowly or we're not moving at all. I just wanted to clarify those things. If there are other issues, were really extensively dealt with. We know the issues in terms of us having to deal with the cost regulator and the transnational dichotomy. Although the message was to the deputy minister, I would like for them to provide a part in terms of making sure that that case was realized. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. one. I think that to add, and I want to area that not to respond. To add to the last bit that my servants have talked to, the interactions between ourselves and the entities. Outside of the area that some of the indicators, there's many sessions for the DG and the CEO that happens on an ongoing basis. And then the minister as well has interactions with the chairperson of the board so that at least there's that balance in the reports that we give and the reports that she gets from the CEOs. The second issue around the port regulation, I think it's an important issue. But what we must understand, and I think I feel for the port regulator, it has to be a legal process. The port regulator by law is funded by appropriations from Parliament. There is no room for any other appropriations. And therefore the money that they get is limited to what is appropriate and what we get under our government. But amendments for it to raise additional funds, and that's the issue discussed with the port regulator for some time. Because it's providing an industry service, industry must pay for that. And therefore, you see in the report that I was talking to, one of the proposals and options that they're giving is how they need to probably live with the use, either 1 cent, half a cent, on the movement of goods across all our ports. So that will create a fund or a revenue so that people could plan and execute. Correct is that, you know, so that's one of the options, and that's one of the options along the wanting to do.
The regulation says that there must be a levy which the regulator should be able to deal with. And I think within that context, that is why regulator is so eager. And
in the consideration, in the consideration for the moment of the Act, that's going to be one of the issues that we will look at. The other element of the Act.
When?
No grant. I was trying to look at, it's not in the...
When?
Yeah.
When?
I can't commit to today, but I'm sure as soon as we meet the kind of possibility, we can come in and apply. But I can say, no, it's going to be in December. And then if I don't meet December, then...
Why don't you jump on top of the table and ask when?
Can I ask that we'll be given an opportunity to go back and rewrite, look at our internal processes, rewrite that, and then come back again. Can I ask that? The issue of the DG being fully briefed, I'm sure all will know that we prepared the handover reports. So the handover reports have taken the DG thoroughly to all the issues. Of course, there may be issues that we write up and when that may not have been in the... But all issues, particularly that have to do with Parliament and to do with the Parliament and the Corporation of Government, are part of the end of the report. He has been... So there may be other nuances maybe that may be missed in the end of the report. But in terms of issues, the issue would have been fully briefed. In terms of legislation, that's what that honorable speaker, we just can't go because there are a number of processes. We've got to go stakeholder consultation, got to go to NEDLAC, and some of the processes we just cannot in control. So it becomes difficult, therefore, to indicate on the particular draft one. The other ones, as the minister said in the last meeting, she already has informed the leader of government, you know, of what the department is going to table. And here are the three pieces at the end, so the three top. The PC that's been here. What happens when what is required is not done? People are taking pictures of other processes. And that can happen. And I'm sure as the CFO said, in the case of some of the findings, particularly in the SCM side, we recently have cleaned up everything by the EMT. So the only clear issue that I will have is here at the end of the month is only going to be EMT because we have this court judgment. Any other irregular standard. The commitment we made there, you know, you remember the question was asked by the Honourable Ramakrishnan, and we said at the end of this year, we will not have irregular. And we don't have it's only going to be a positive image. If you remember the question of when to transfer image to RCC, we've not been able to do that. The quantum is what's going to be the problem. At the end of the second quarter, when we came in to survey it, that by the end of October, November, there are would have transferred it. And of course, we have problems with it. The challenge. Last question that you asked around 2024, what constitutes the 24% that's not constituted? All the key findings, for example, which is the commitment letter that I signed as the FGCC. And that's the majority of all the key findings that we've dealt with. One of the issues was on assets, and therefore we went out to procure the service provider to deal with issues around assets. So what is left is those that, I don't want to use the word minor, because we could not have defined those if they're minor, but these are the ones that are not significant that will result in measures of emphasis. But in all the material ones, we have this deadline. So that's the commitment we gave when we came to the committee last year. That's what and you will see this year on the report of the AG, the differences between last year and this year, and the response and the methods you have raised with us last year. And indeed, we did take them into account. And in the, thanks, Chair.
Understand, sir.
Chair, yeah, I think. The issue around the minor ones and the big ones, the only one that is the major one that is remaining is the inequity issue. It remains a problem. The chair asks the question, what is the problem with contract management in the department that the AG has raised? It's the inequity. And the later on, the other contract, which was the driver license card, which we have now put into a separate training entity. This contract, the problem with them is that they precede the PFMA. So they came before the PFMA came into being. They are contracts that come from the time of the state and the board. There are certain clauses in the contract that are contrary to the PFMA. So because of what we will see, the retrospective application of law not be done, and then that there is a certain issue that we have that people are then taking advantage of those processes to make sure that things just extended. But we are dealing with that, and we are quite comfortable that going forward, we'll come to this committee with something that is conclusive.
Thank you very much, Honourable. Here we are. I think the waiting Honourable members would like to take a second bite of the sharing. Maybe from myself, in view of the fact that there are these challenges in terms of the contract management, which actually preceded the PFMA, and maybe some going forward. Are there lessons that you have learned which will be able to assist you that as you go into the future such anomalies do not happen? But also, as next time when you come, can we have a lesson indication of the ratio of the support programs in terms of staffing versus the core function of the department? Because in some instances, you find that it is the tailor that is working the dog. You've got more support people than the professionals and the core, which actually are meant to be the function of the Department of Transport. If you can have just that ratio, is it 1:3? Is it 1:1? What exactly are the issues? So these two are the things that I'm not saying you must respond to it now. But as you will be making presentation to us in the future, these are some of the things that I'd like to really have an understanding around as to how do you fare in that regard, because most of the technical departments, you find that by the, due to the fact that this discuss professionals in the end end up having the core functions of the department being like downplayed and have more or support compared to the technical and professional people in the department. Honorable Keita was the second was the president that I saw. Is there any other hands? Welcome, Honorable Ramasaka. Ms. Gore.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I must say I'm very concerned, especially the Deputy Minister also spoke about the problem with staff and employment. Now, it's really a concern because we're not talking just, we talk about scarce skills here as Minister, was also the Deputy Minister was also going, we're talking about engineers. Now, I know that you've partly covered me on getting the ratio, but if we have a 22% vacancy rate, something is wrong. Where is it wrong? You know, I think one of the important things that we need to know is how many of these are resignations? How many are dismissals? And then I'm going to add something else. How many is constructed dismissals? When people are put into a situation expected to do work, but they are not given the tools and they are frustrated that they actually resign. And it's a constructive dismissal. I think it's important that we look at that. The presentation was talking about the chief directors. That's the information we're looking for. We want a reconciliation of how many vacancies are there. If there is 100 vacancies, how many of them is in the different positions? The Deputy Minister is talking about engineers. So it's important that we go and we have a look and say, well, now, the problem is with engineers. How many engineers? What is the qualifications required? Because, you know, it's a bit of a concern, especially if, you know, engineering fields, how many people are trying to find jobs. You know, where do things that sit at? It's really a concern. There must be a problem somewhere if we are sitting with those resignations or the high vacancy rate. Okay, I can cover it by the chair on that. Thank you. Sorry, chair. I just wanted to say, be very careful of making promises when it comes to our AG. Some of us serve on the committee as well. But something that really, chair, needs to be given consideration. And this is just honest advice. If we in the department can actually start growing and getting into a system like an ISO system, you will always lose some manpower, but for job and work to continue, it is very important to have a look at a system like an ISO work procedure system so that someone else could take off exactly where the other one left off.
Thank you very much, Honourable Madam Secretary. It's fine, easy. Thank you very much, Collins,
your
and your
chief. Thanks, Chair. Let's go back to our responses under the second point first. To respond to honorable member, the total establishment of the department is 864 posts. 197 are vacant. Of the 197 that are vacant, 87 were added in the year 1450, meaning 110 were still there when we started the year. So that's how it's defined. You asked about the critical posts, and I said about 11 that are chief director because that are sitting at the general management level, and the executive level we are now sitting with 4. Like Matabara said, we can give you that matrix. The matrix in how many at the beginning, how many were hired, how many resigned, how many were promoted within, because we fill posts, we are moving people from within, and therefore once you promote somebody, that post the person was in becomes vacant and you need to advertise them as you take it. So the net effect is zero on the vacancy. So we'll do that. We'll do a whole matrix and see what we have been doing. We been monitoring it, it's something that the executive is quite perturbed about. All of us are perturbed about it and how we need to do it going forward. We look at that, but there's also an understanding that we must have that when we advertise posts, we look for individuals. Those individuals might be there, might not be attracted by the monetary compensation that you give. So one engineer, they might want a million, you might be 27,000. So those are the things that as we go along, we start to see. And those are things that we note in all those. And we know which ones have been low outstanding and what are the that we'll give us.
Sure, but also the same thing, just to add one or two steps backwards. We went through a restructuring. So the vacancies are not necessarily as a mass resignation of staff. We went through the restructuring process, the establishment of expanded. And now we've been gradually reducing the vacancy rate as we filled in those additional positions. And even going forward, like last year, there were others also added the case. So I don't think that it is we can sit here and say all of this is because of mass resignation and stuff. Oh, it is not. But of course, yes, we do lose people in key positions. And in the majority of cases, it's because they therefore go for greener pastures where we definitely cannot necessarily afford them others, or we do not have such positions on our own establishment.
Thank you very much. It looks like okay. You thought it
thing. I thought I would let go on this issue, but the more explanations given, the more I get worried about it. When we met and we did the oversight for the department in one of the hotels in Cape Town, somewhere in deep there, I can't remember what the name of this hotel was, where we almost had a meeting cancelled, where there was, we discussed at length the issue about filling of vacant positions, and particularly top management positions. In particular, the issues of chief directors. There was a organogram that was displayed. We have expressed uncomfortability at the pace of filling of those vacancies. That was 2014. Now it's 2015. While one appreciates and understands the issue about the fact that there's additional coming in, but if you don't fill the vacant positions, particularly at that level, you will continue to have a problem with the capacity to deliver. You will continue to have the delayed, because what you don't have to do, you have to ask people to act. And the double parking of act in terms of the department is a problem, because immediately the capacity of your delivery becomes reduced considerably. So, you know, we can say, your CEO talks about people whether they like, they would come and say, but we don't pay more and so on. It's also deal with the issue about, I mean, government has been talking about scarce skills and the issue about which are the posts that are influenced in particular to address the strategy to address those. So I don't think necessarily it is a justifiable reason that we can continuously hear and put as a serious reason for us to consider and accept that this is the reason. Because if we say that and if we accept that, that one must accept that you're not going to deliver to your own pride goals that you're setting us up. Because they're limping, basically. So for me, Chair, I was not pointing the problem, but the more the explanation is given, the more I get worried. Because
I think the DDG that are here, we should be hearing a different aspect. That, I mean, you have the options of headhunting that you have, that exist in government, in terms of addressing this particular question. So perhaps, Chair, the parting shot for me would be, I really want to hear something different. I want to hear something different, but plan and program to address this particular question. Because if we don't, we will be failing our responsibility too. And therefore we can't, at the end of the financial year, take a sledgehammer and hit you that you have not delivered because you've already conceded right at the beginning that you're not going to be there because of the capacity issue. So I just really want to see a presentation in the committee that says this is what we're going to do and this is the time we should go to do this in order for us to deliver 100% of this with the budget we're going to get. That's only when we will be satisfied, that's only when we can hold you to what you're saying. But if you're not committing, we can't hold you accountable to anything. So I just want to make that point, Chair. Whether it's not responded to, it's not the issue, but the statement I'm making is that I'm pleading that let's see something. And I think that you can pull something serious around these issues for us to deliver and for government to deliver in particular. I mean, there is a president clarion call on this matter, long years already. So let me just leave it there before I entangle myself with this matter. Let me leave it there.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson, I'm happy because one of my members raised the issue because I wanted to come. You see, colleagues from the department, I just made a follow-up. I don't want to dwell much on that one. I'll repeat what I said to one. You know, what worries us is the very same topic which we're talking about. Because the key fundamental when we started to interact with you when we started last year, that is the only thing which we have identified as our weaknesses, part of our weaknesses, that create problems because of responsibilities. Because there are people were, that's why I made that example, that people were running away from responsibilities. You know, I'll repeat again. As long we don't develop as a recruitment strategy, this problem will be ongoing. And then the option which was raised by who, honourable member Ramatlakane, the issue of the option of hunting. And I'll cite an example, Chairperson, to you. Some departments, if there is such a problem, they are able to go and recruit in the universities. From in particular this young generation, so that when they come out from school to be connected to the department. By what way does it happen to this department? Because to me, it's very painful. I'll cite an example. You still remember the huge money which was returned, which was underutilized, which was never be used in the municipalities. You know? And I still believe that if we had proper monitoring, I'm still repeating about the monitoring system, and who's supposed to do the monitoring? People responsible, if you appoint people, yes, I agree with you that you have enlarged the infrastructure, upgrading whatever, but to what else? You can upgrade and modify and do it as long as you don't have a plan. That is a fruitless exercise. So that is my worry, because you know, it's very disturbing sometimes when we're going to debate the issue of budget constraints and the like, pondering in the same thing. That is the key mistake which we have found in the past, that this mistake can be rectified. It will minimize even some of the issues which were raised by the AG. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think mainly your comments are the outreach project is meant to take some of these issues that have been raised by honourable members. That going forward, as you go into the future, you're able to come back and fill up the gaps that they have already identified, so that we are able to have a clearer jigsaw puzzle which has got all the parts that this has been having been put together. I don't know, colleagues, you still have other issues to speak to before we close this matter?
No, Chair, thank you very much. Just to say, we have had the committee. We'll go back. Certainly, I'm sure that what we have been told is that you can do better. We will go back and we will come back with all the things that are required, including what our recruitment strategy entails. Chair, since April 2014, we have filled 119 posts. So we are trying our level best, but I'm sure that given the push, we can still achieve more. So we will head the committee. We will come back and we'll give you that metric that we promised. We'll also give you what our recruitment strategy details and how we intend going about doing it. We had a target of 40 posts to be filled each and every quarter. That to date has been achieved. So, like I say, it's something that we must do. Part of it is that probably must also strengthen our retention strategy, but it doesn't help recruiting when you are losing. So it's something that we must also ensure that we strengthen. But it's something we'll come back to the committee with. We have had the consensus of the committee. Thanks.
Okay.
With respect, the feeling of 119 posts since last year, it's not a one, and it should not be projected as such. I hear the CFO hampering on this question. In other words, it can be interpreted to say, why complaining already about the 119 post? Doesn't seem not a one. We are supposed to throw the vacant post, sir. So don't tell us that it's a one. Because it's not, it's a failure of not meeting what was supposed to be made by the department. So, I want to request that as a committee we get a clearer plan, we've been presented with a clearer plan, so that we can keep you accountable to that plan, or so that we are able to say you have not met it yet. And please, let's not project this as a one. We are all employed to meet 100% of the requirements, not part of it. And that's what we're going to be demanding from you.
The instruction is very clear, as indicated, but I think it's very important that maybe that there are other issues that we have not raised with the BRRR, which going forward we're going to be raising very shortly. Some of the things we just felt that we will deal with them in-house as we're dealing with the BRRR, we felt that it will be important that we engage the department so that we're able to correct some of the things. Like has been indicated, issues that have been raised by members here, would expect you to look into them and come back to us. With members have requested the metrics in terms of filling of posts. We would want you to really look into the issues, particularly of the state-owned enterprises. It's very important now that the minister has said that you need to have a standalone unit which will be able to look into this. Some of the critical things have been raised by the Presidential Review Commission on SOEs. Why it is for sure that you need to be able to look into that. But also critical is serious monitoring and evaluation of the impact that this SOEs are making, be those regulatory, be those commercial. It is very important that we're able to know. We don't want you to continue being a post office like that doing, we've got South African post office services that can be able to do this job. Legislated to do that, but you are Department of Transport and we expect you to do serious oversight over the state-owned enterprises and be able to really hold them to account onto the things that, that you have said. On that note, thank you very much. As members have been saying, I'm going to repeat it over and over again. You're doing better, you're doing smarter compared to last year. And we must comment, we must give praise where praise is deserved. Your documentations are much, but really, really improved. My wife, Matavata and colleagues, you have really improved from where you come from last year. Because as the honorable members here, it was a pain when you have to come looking into the documents, shabbily, keep on doing this good job, and I'm sure you can even improve more than it is now. Keep on keeping on. Thank you very much. We'll go into the next item. No, we're dealing with the reports of oversight. It's important that you hear. I'm not refusing. Honorable members, you recall that last week we said that members will go and read the documents, and then the inputs may either be raised with the secretary or the inputs of this report can be raised in this meeting. Are the inputs to the report? Can we start with the report of November 20 CBRTA and the South African Marine Safety Authority Summit? Are there issues that we need to raise on CBRTA? Do we accept the report as it is? Why are you guys have all records as well? One by one. Close by close, if that is the case.
The report that the CBRTA, I recommend that we adopt it. Yes, please.
The proposal is seconded that we adopt the CBRTA report as is with the observations and the recommendations. But I think it will be very important to point out. Yeah, thank you.
The content in the ICT is oversight.
This is oversight on you.
No, on the
CBRTA. Oh, okay.
I wanted
to raise that the members have accepted adopted the report. But what is very critical here is that you really need to deal with the impact that is still there. The president went to Lesotho, and between the president and the prime minister, there was an agreement which was made and it was never adhered to, particularly by the Free State government. And it will be important that the business units responsible for this go and assist CBRTA board and CEO to make sure that those agreements that have been signed by both the heads of state are implemented. But I think it will also be important that the government of the Free State understands that we are a unitary state, and therefore the laws that these laws are not implemented piecemeal because they selectively choose when to implement the transport laws of the Republic and how to short circuit, because you can't have a situation where it fits back taxis from Lesotho must drop off, taxis from Fixback must take to Bloemfontein, and it makes the commuters to really have a challenge. And this to me is what is being done by the government of the Free State to want to try and accommodate the business, the needs and the taxis in Free State. I think if there's one taxi industry, they must be regulated the same. So these are the two things that I felt you should be able to make oversight over and make sure that the MEC and the Department of Transport in Free State is complies with what is expected. But critical is what the heads of state have really agreed to. It cannot be seen that diversifying what the President and Prime Minister have said with respect to the tax industry.
But I was suggesting that what we just summarized be incorporated as one of the recommendations, because we need to quarterly be appraised about the situation around that. So become 3.4.
Thank you for the assistance, because as I read through the document, I felt that it has not been captured, and this is one of the things that was raised sharply. Can you go to Samsung? How? You know, Shanyana Mawabe, do you want to give me? Do you want to learn? Shall I do it? Why are you ignoring me? Yeah, can I say hello? How is your age? Christian? Why are you not looking at me? Did I tell my phone right?
He was only speaking, he doesn't call me. And my quota isn't that good yet, so that I understand. If you were speaking to me in quota.
Who has Ghana, you don't respond. Who has Kosa, you don't respond. I press Africa, you don't respond.
All I can say is, who call?
We are on the item which speaks to Samsa. Honorable member. Because I can see that nowadays you've got a tendency to move. And I'm going to change the method. I'll show you. Can we adopt this the Samsung report as is? Any issue that we believe have not been captured on SAMHSA or any addition, any recommendation that it might not have captured the eyes of the scratch? Comfort police? Okay.
Second issue.
Okay. Seconding what?
I'm seconding the proposal of amendment of addressing the report by honorable colleague.
It's not a mandate, it's a choosing. Honorable member.
No, honorable chair. I thought that the report is well written. The only thing that I was worried about, the recommendations are open-ended. That, in other words, we've walked away from this as a committee. I thought that we would need to continuously hold the handle on this issue that are presented here. So So it will just amend the report that the in the next whatever interval we may agree that we should get some briefing around this, because some of the things that are raised here are summarized but are in the body of the report but are important. So we need to have some the department will maybe, I don't know when, at the next interval to take us through. I think we'll come out with a maybe with a PT of the new financial year. But for us here, I think we should get a regular report on this matter. So perhaps a quarterly report on the process should be sufficient.
For the first time, I'm not differing with my colleagues, but I thought that we finished that to be the issue of adopting this report, and then some of the matters arising, yes, we'll discover them when the thing is raised.
So you
move,
you're
moving
for the adoption of the report?
I thought that actually that's what you wanted to do.
You are seconding a report that was not adopted.
Okay, I move.
You are the first person to move for the adoption of the report.
Yes. No, there's nothing. I was just indicating that Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the report. But some of the matters arise, whatever. There are things which need for the all reports which were to be.
Thank you very much. I think Honorable Ramadakar has really captured that the department look into this report, the observations that were made and the recommendations, and be able to make sure that either through the quarterly reports update us on progress made, but also some of the things need to be factored into the ACP of the affected SOE. Can we, having adopted that report, can we now move forward to the next item? I think the department can now be released. Sure, welcome. No, I wouldn't have released them. The CRPTA, particularly the feedback, the sort of thing, is a very difficult thing. Definitely another one is brewing in what is that water post? Susano Graza and Libombo. Yeah. You may also want to check with the Libombo border as to what are the issues. But also critical is the Bay Bridge border also. It's very, very important that you start looking into what exactly are the issues that are at play with the taxis in this whole, in all these border areas. They fight amongst themselves. There's this meter taxis of the Oshuk one is also. Oshuk, Swaziland, Libombo, Mozambique, Bay Bridge, the meter taxis of Musina and the long distances, yeah. Those are the things. We are Pito.
I'm coming back now.
Honorable member, thank you very much. We now on the last item, which the minute consideration and adoption of the draft minutes. Essentially advised, honorable members, beyond this, what do we do with the report? Honorable Khader.
No, just after the adoption of the report must be submitted to the chair of their churches for the adoption by the House. And I think the opposition party knows that if you agree here, unless then they have been instructed otherwise to give out their report, they might want to project it. But normally, when the report is tabled in the House, the aspect is tabled. But I don't think here, I think we've got common understanding and then maturity within ourselves. We're not like other committees.
Okay. Thank you very much. You know, I'm not happy, honourable members, about the two honourable members. Their plan is definitely. They're planning something which is fishy.
You're playing when you talk too much, mate.
I enjoy when you talk. That's what makes me to concentrate.
I just want to talk,
I don't concentrate when you talk.
No, you must concentrate because we have a doctor.
Thank you very much. I think we will follow the procedure of shaping the report with the chair of chairs, Valerie. Thank you very much. Can we go into the minutes of Honourable
Director? I'm sorry, Chair. I just did it right in my head. It'll just be tabled in the House and it won't debate it. It's just a formality which we will discuss.
No, I think it's something we put under the floor. Yeah. Do you want?
It's not debated, but it's the report is always introduced at a chair.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
fine.
I think that the same recovery. I think they have agreed as well. We don't debate it, but you introduced in the House. That's the television.
Honourable Speaker. Honourable members, let's go into the minutes of the meeting. Which meeting was this anyway? Minutes of the 10th of March. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Presentation by Academica South Africa. Can we adopt the report the minutes as they are without corrections from the colleague?
Can for the adoption?
The minutes are. Any seconder?
I didn't see.
Okay. Out of the minutes. Honourable Ramakaka?
No, there's not much arriving. I don't know, given the first week, I saw the other correspondence. You forwarded the postponement to us. So I wasn't sure whether the engagement was a bit productive or not productive, given that at the back of our engagement, and then there's something else you mentioned. I was a bit confused about it. I don't know whether it's still the right of you to write, but. That's just a mechanism that I think that I thought I was raised that perhaps the, because I don't know whether we expected, it's almost a complaint that is lost at the depth of my engagement, which raises the bona fides issues about the recorder.
Probably honourable members from opposition, I don't have your email addresses and opportunity. Over the weekend, there was a communique that came from Malanga Party, and within what the honourable Rawatakana is raising, I will try and get the information from yourself so that I can send you that easy. It is like the exercise that we did last week was to try and suppress them, and the correspondence that they sent right to me over the weekend was to the effect that they don't want to be hushed and be silenced. They'll still continue with the revolution. And the meeting was very clear that for the fact that they want to do, you must actually come the 1st of April. The committee cannot stop them from doing that. But they should be able to take into cognizance the fact that you've got those 200,000 people who are commuting on that road on a daily basis, and therefore, if they're saying Parkour must stop transporting commuters, what will be the implications economically, socially, and otherwise? So these are the things which were raised on that email. That is why he's asking that. It looks like it's a follow-up, but also an exercise which actually is that has arisen out of the discussions that we have had. So that's why I'm saying I'll get your email and just also forward it to you, because it has been sent to the presidency. It was sent to the minister. It was sent to me. So that's why I was able to share with some of my colleagues here, excluding yourself. I will do that. Yeah, excluding the opposition, yeah. Honorable Musinga. Honorable Bushia.
Thank you, Chief. Just on, I gather that we spoke on, what do you say, from the minutes, matters arising. Just on the experience of the presentation by Assimilable. It was a bit frustrating to sit there in observing the presentation, acknowledging that it's a valuable presentation in terms of raising our general knowledge and admiring the contribution of this company to the economy. It's one of our big companies. But then the frustration set in at the end, when we suddenly realized that there's a lot to talk about between the company and us as a committee, when we realized that certainly, you know, there's a lot of conversation needed about rail and transport and road, etc. But the information lacked on that particular field. So, in general, I feel, you know, the presentation would be a bit more appropriate to trade and industry in the way that it was compiled versus the realization that they had to come and speak to Transport Committee. So my plea is that we might support presentations in the preparation a bit more, in scrutinizing what they would come and present. Not that what they did was inappropriate, it gave a big understanding, but I'm sure there's a lot more to engage with what we realized at the end, and it was actually a waste of time. Whereas we could have had a far bigger and far insightful discussion about rail and road usage by them.
That is very important, Honourable Musinga. I think the one other thing that we're trying to conjure with the secretaries of both Portfolio Committee on Transport and the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises is to have Transport, Transnet and PRASA coming to talk to issues on freight, rail, other related matters, so that we're able to have synergy of how we should be able to operate. Maybe within that, we can be able to also engage and include ArcelorMittal to come and zoom into the specifics, because in the main, like we're putting it, it was like an advertisement of ArcelorMittal to us, and not going into the actual in terms of what are the critical things that BCO transport should be able to focus into. Honorable Chair.
I'm not sure that would be relevant, but it's on two issues. The first one was on that rule of when we're making a comment. Say, I don't understand, after meeting with the committee, you know, taking their issues, why would they go and write those letters? Because they had the opportunity to tell us if they were not satisfied with what we're discussing and you know, raising their concern in the meeting, because they wasn't better. Because in the public out there, it would seem as if maybe they didn't get any joy from us. We tried our best. I know Jane, we didn't even give them time limit. You just let them, all of them speak, whoever wanted to speak. And it's just disappointing in that regard. The other issue, maybe related to that, which I'm proposing that we might want to put it in the next agenda and maybe discuss it at length. I think people are taking advantage of the tragedy that we have now. You know, in the social media, people are talking about strain between Polokwane and Joburg because of the death that has been happening there, especially in Easter when they go to Moria and others. But also the comment is, if government can even start to lot, what will make you think they can even start it? You know, while we know there are plans being done and everything. So maybe, I don't know how we can be able to approach it, but maybe we might want to have the department briefing us fully on the issue, and then we take it from there. On the Arcelor presentation, I must confess I was lost. You know, I'm not normally a lost person, but on that day, I was really lost. Yeah, because Arcelor is like any other company. You know, it's like any other KFC and chicken kitchen. Which sector. So if we're going to allow City Election to come here and make presentation, so it is, we must also allow Nando's and then City Election and McDonald's to come, and the Trinidad also to come and make presentation to the committee. Maybe we might want to have a session. I know we have been postponing our strategic session. Why we agree who comes and present to the portfolio committee. Otherwise we'll find ourselves being the usual of people who rage illegal gender processes, you know, and all other things. Because for me, I would have expected Transnet or Prasa to come and make presentation if they have problem of shortage of steel, you know. And then say to us, given this, what do we do? Because if you have listened to the presentation, they were worried about the Chinese, you know. And it is as they wanted some protection from government in terms of that. So I just think it might not be for today, but as we go into our strategic session, let's look at who really come to the committee and present. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable
Chairperson. Let me start by saying, yes, we are on the right track. So, Honorable Boshuelo, she nearly covered me. Because you see, like the things which we are raising, we can follow up, like currently, like if you recall well, most of our questions, you see, they were failing with their own market strategy. So they wanted us to intervene to block other people while they problems with them. And then comes to the other delegation. Chairperson, you see, what I said earlier on, my colleague said that we're on the right track to that communique which you're talking about from these people that it seems that they were thinking otherwise. Let me start by us for introspection. I think for all parties, including ourselves, it's very strategic to sit down and listen. I'll motivate how even last week I've made an example to still remember those, that gentleman of registration, what. No, I was talking whatever. But sit down and listen to him. We never said go away.
because to us it is strategic also of an eye-opening, so that we know exactly what other people feel about us. But at the same time, our people must accept the issue of in terms of protocol and procedures. I'll put an example, the issue of Molodoro. Molodoro is a process, it's an ongoing number, the issue of researching and everything, and the issue of consulting. I'll put an example. Some of these rules, if we proceed, maybe it's agreed finally. It cut across some of the farms and some of the people who are staying in that other site, that it might involve even shifting them a little bit so that this line is straight. So that is the process itself. It's not an organized thing to say, when sleep now, the following day will come forever. So our people, I mean, what I'm trying to pursue as a person is that we must make them to understand that no matter they came to us and they meant that they are procedures which must be followed. And then also the issue of legislation, look what just done. To say because it's, they are crying, in short, no, even to us as people who are involved in politics, sometimes a situation like this, you need a thoroughly thinking before you attend whatever. Because you can't just change laws, same thing, whatever. Lot of confrontation, both sides, politically and socially, so. And also, it needs the budget itself. Thank you, sir.
But the true sense of the matter is, from time to time, we will consider communities as they're becoming, particularly with their request, but we also need to say as a committee, where do we stop in terms of the communities that will be coming to make a presentation. And I remember last week somebody said that that presentation that ArcelorMittal made was going to be a very good presentation if it says to DTR. The issues that they spoke to on rail and road was just two sentences, which was very, very important to us. The whole presentation was about issues, economics and issues trade, and very little on roads and road-related matters, which actually affect our community. And I think this, to me, are the critical things. Honorable members, I think the two presentations and the reports as they are have been accepted, but probably looking at the minutes, it will also be important, committee secretary, that maybe we flag out some of the issues that we raised with the both presenters. We raised issues of the management that is really mainly male-dominated, and we should be able to make a recommendation out of that. There are observations that we made, which we should make recommendations out of that based on this. But also even to the Mpumalanga campaigns, whatever, there were about three things that we raised in that meeting which we believe we should be able to have regular interaction with them, issues of communication, issues of them starting to develop a charter, can't remember what was the other issue which we raised, which should be able to come to say this is what we observed or this is what we recommended to these people, so that we are also able to hold them accountable. We also said that from the committee side we will write a letter to the board of PACO indicating several things that the community has flagged out and raised with us here, so that the board is aligned to the challenges that the community is in that particular area is having. So I think it will be important that they come out either as what we observe or what we have recommended as a committee. I just did not want to respond to the letter which actually have been sent to the minister, CC, to the presidency and myself, but sometimes you from the look of things, it's like a futile and exercise of us having interacted with that committee, that committee, and they go back and say, hold on, we're still dogs, you don't need to cut our teeth, we still want to bite. And this is, to me, I took it that it's work in progress. We will keep on interacting, and if it means maybe as a committee, one day when we do oversight, we're able to say we've had this type of an engagement, let's go to that community and go and have an assessment of what is happening. But when people treat you, to me, I took it they are treating the committee with contempt. And they've got a belief that the committee has not done anything, but we'll send the committee to all the other members. Valerie will do that, I'll send the committee to her, so that members can be able to engage and then see how we're able to take the process home. Are there other things that you want to raise on the minutes? Honorable Ramaka.
I would suggest that perhaps we not adopt this measure now. Instead, because there are certain areas that are suggested, particularly a kind of four pointers that we can have on each of the presenters that we discussed anyway, so that they can reflect what the issue of using about the action.
Remember, there's a proposal that we defer the adoption of the minutes so that the other issues that were not captured are captured, and then we'll honorable Bushi.
I agree, but before we even go there, the last page 5, on the last page 10, I think this issue of the subsidy of buses is not only PATCO which has the problem. I think it's all over. I remember Honorable Maramatakan inside it. I'm not sure whether as part of assisting the Secretariat in doing the recommendation, can we recommend that maybe the department to get a special presentation to say, on bus contracts and how they might, and then all the legislation is saying, because I read the NLTA, there's a legislation specifically what led to be done, and then they come and give us who's what, where and doing what, and also the historical background information. Because remember, the argument of other small business bus owners is that others have been having this subsidy forever and ever until 19. So there's no space of even small bus owners getting in. So as we go forward, are we going to just leave the status quo or what are we going to do? But I think before we can even start discussing the issue, let's get information and facts, and then we can be able to make proper recommendations.
I think it's a fair one. It will also assist us to have an understanding of what I'm dealing with, particularly on the bus subsidies, because the deeper you go into the rural areas, the more critical it becomes. It's like subsidies is meant for towns and yeah, kind of a thing. So definitely it will be important. I think definitely you will also come in and teach us do an overall analysis of what exactly is happening in terms of the subsidies, because there are some areas which actually are not covered. I know in Mpumalanga it's only PASCO and that portion of PASCO. When you go to a GNT, Great North Transport, when you go into the other areas, there's absolutely nothing. The operators that are there don't get any subsidy from anybody, but you find that even the prices are almost the same as those that are being subsidized, and so will be other provinces and other provinces. And you ask yourself, what is the rationale? This PATCO is being subsidized. It's also charging almost a similar price like the one that is not subsidized. What exactly are the issues? What is at play here? Where does the subsidy go in this instance? And we're talking about a lot of money in this. business, let's also look into that. But also look at the assets, because the when the presentation was being made, part of the things that they were saying, I like the analogy of the slayer who said Patco is like a weather. If it rains, it rains inside the barn. If it's nothing, so the weather folk kind of a thing, you know, but you are inside the barn, you can see the weather. So these are the things that it tells you that these are mobile coffins that our people are really exposed to. And moreover, the RS-503 is very, very challenging. The social media, as we are talking about the bereavement in Limpopo, people sneak in Lodo. They keep on sneaking in Lodo Road. As we are talking about this challenge that the tragedy that has befell the minister and his protectors. So these are the type of things, the weather issue, we must also try and look into it. So, and be able to also maybe assist the department in this regard, honorable members. So we will defer the adoption of the minutes, and I don't know if there are other things that we believe we should be able to engage into.
Okay, I think we must use this tragedy as an opportunity, as without sounding, what's the word, insensitive. The problems of road safety and trucks on our road and abuse that's going on our roads is getting worse in our hand. And without sounding sensitive to what happened this weekend, all that could have been avoided if certain basic things were implemented by the department. And it's something I've been harping on for many years. There isn't enough visible law enforcement to all sorts of other things. And I think we should, as a committee, take the opportunity. I've taken this morning, I've submitted to my office downstairs to table a motion, and hopefully they will, my party will accept it, to discuss this issue without mentioning the deceased minister's name, to talk about trucks on our road, road safety and all that kind of thing. But I haven't mentioned it because I want to be sensitive to the whole thing. But this could have been avoided, and he's just one statistic of many other people that die on a daily basis. So I'm hoping that we'll be tabled the motion, and hopefully they will also be able to debate us. And I think as a committee we need to be seen, but also be proactive in this. I think the department has been sitting on their hands too long, and I really believe that we could push this issue, because thousands of people are dying every month, and it's some basic things could be implemented which isn't going to cost that much, which could be prevented. Thank you.
Thank you,
Honourable. No matter this this proposal, we ought to be careful with our timing. And myself, I won't support it now. I think it's a good idea. But our timing, we ought to be very careful about, because sometimes this thing is so sensitive to our people.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sibande. I think to me, I take it is work in progress, probably because the member has already put a motion forward. But we really need to discuss this type of a thing, because if N4, you have challenges, if N1, you have challenges, if N2, N3, you have challenges. On all our main roads, you always have challenges. M3, you know, I think it's 2-3 weeks ago that we're talking about the mist, the undulating landscape, which sometimes when it's not mist, it's very beautiful to be driving on that. But the undulations and stuff like that, you know, if you're not used to that road, if you're a fleet of trucks carrying copper, you become so impatient to can wait until you're able to see what's next coming, kind of a situation. These are the things that from time to time in our main roles you'd like to see, but it doesn't stop the department from being innovative, you know, putting certain stopgap measures, because the N1, that part of the N1 that the tragedy befell, it's known to be one of the challenging areas of the road on the N1 between Bulawayo and Mokopane. What stops them from having two lanes separated by the barrier or whatever, which actually would be able to make, because the last year we had the police almost similar area, same area. We had the police, the truck which was carrying flammables was also making a U-turn, and the police came in there and they tend to access the same area, kind of a thing. Wasn't that an indication enough that you should be able to have a situation which is people cannot turn on this area? And therefore you put something that will make sure that they either offer for them to be able to turn, so that they don't endanger people's lives and stuff like that. So these are the things that you should be able to say to the department, say to Sandra, you need to do something, because I know that it's something that is all over. When you go to Rustenburg, on the N1, Pretoria towards Rustenburg, there is just, you're lucky every time you say, thanks God, no? You're always in this prayer, which is saying, God, here I come. And you say, thanks God, you arrive in Rustenburg to say, God, I have affected some of these things. And we can talk about all these roads throughout the country, which is highly challenged in terms of safety of the roads. And I think, honorable members, let's leave it at that. But also, we need to say, the next time we would like to really get a strategic focus, because this to us is one of the things that those regulators in terms of road safety should put their hands together and say, what are the things that we can be able to do with the infrastructure development unit, so that we're able to stop some of these carnages that will be happening. We're going into Easter holidays, and I can tell you that it's only the Northern Cape which will have less than 10 fatalities, but all the other provinces, you bleed when you come to Easter, you bleed when you come to the first season, you're bleeding throughout the year. We're bleeding throughout, all the time you're always bleeding. Honorable members, on that note, I think we have done today's work. Next week I'm not going to talk, I'm going to listen to Honorable Defectors and Honorable Hosinga. I don't like it when you're quiet, guys, I must say. Thank you very much. The meeting's adjourned. Thank you.